This is Franz. Welcome back to the Sailing in the Mediterranean podcast. This week I've got an interview with Arlen Stoof. He's a yacht charter owner of BVI Yacht Charters, headquartered in the British Virgin Islands. And the reason I interviewed him is, first of all, he asked me to, and anybody that wants to be interviewed, I'm more than happy to talk to you. Second of all, he does have a sister company that they work together to charter yachts out of the Balearic Islands in Spain. So he talks about that. He talks about his background, how he got involved in the business, some good stories about yacht charters and a few other things. But first, I thought I'd bring you up to date on what I'm doing. I've been getting ready for the next summer sail. I've been laying out some possible route alternatives. I'm still trying to debate whether to go north or south. I really want to get to the northern part of Greece, so I'm probably going to bite the bullet and beat into the Meltemis all summer long and get up to the northern part of Greece and get around Thessaloniki and work my way around the three peninsulas that come off the mainland there. But also I've got some projects I'm working on to get the boat ready. First of all, I think I've talked about the fact that I need to replace my bowsprit. And what I've noticed, of course, the boat's over 20 years old, so I don't have a lot of complaints about how long the woodwork has lasted. But I noticed that anywhere that I put a fitting through the wood is where I was getting dry rot. So I've been building basically a cage to put the windlass on that will cradle around or will basically wrap around the bowsprit and then mount to the deck, and the windlass will be mounted to that. That will allow me to take the bowsprit off the boat without having to detach the windlass if I ever decide to go through some of the canals, which is one of the things I've always thought about doing. So I've spent two or three weeks off and on working on the design for this cradle, and it's going to be made out of quarter-inch stainless steel. And I took a lot of photographs and a lot of measurements to make sure that it would fit when I get it back to the boat. Got the design, put it out in an AutoCAD drawing, and today I took it down to the water jet cutter, who will cut out the pieces, and then I will take it to a welder and have him weld it together for me. Then I'll take it and have it polished and have it polished. And then where I'm going to the bow roller where the chain comes up the windlass, or the bow roller where the chain comes up on the bowsprit and feeds to the windlass, that used to be mounted by a rod that went through the bowsprit, and I was getting dry rot there as well. So I'm making bands that will hold the rollers that will wrap around the bowsprit instead of being drilled into the bowsprit. Then with the new bowsprit, I will not have any fittings that go into the bowsprit where it connects down to the bits of the boat. I have a wedge that holds it in place, a wooden wedge, and I have never had any trouble with dry rot around where the wooden wedge goes through and holds it. So that's what I've been doing. I've got those delivered. The shaft, the new shaft I'm having machined out of silicon bronze, I delivered to the machine shop today. And the stainless steel plate I took down to a water jet cutter. It's amazing what they can do with water jets. I can draw this design in AutoCAD or a drawing program, and it will go down and cut such accurate cuts that it's amazing to me. I did this a year ago, and it was so inexpensive and so accurate that it's the only way I'll have things cut out. Before, when I was building my boat, I was doing all my cutting of steel by myself with a grinding blade, and this is so much more accurate. It's just amazing how cheap and accurate it can be done for. It'll cost me about $150 to cut out the all the pieces, and there's probably about 15 different pieces that'll be cut out of the stainless steel. So that was done today. And I did mention in a previous podcast that I'm looking at possibly taking a stranger sailing with me this summer. I like to have people that I have never met before. I like to make new friends. If you're interested in possibly joining me this summer, I've gotten one request from a gentleman, and I'm still looking for other people to talk to, and I may have two people join me, may just have one. But if you're interested, send me an email, make the case for yourself, send it to Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, at medsailor.com. So with that out of the way, let's get on with this interview. Now, I'm going to apologize because my audio on my side is very poor. I thought I was feeding my audio through the microphone, but it turns out that I didn't change a setting in Skype when I was making this call, and instead of using the microphone that I had set up for it, it was using the laptop microphone, which is very poor audio quality. Arjun Stoof, the person I interviewed, is much clearer. So I apologize, and we will get on with the podcast. If you have some suggestions for topics you would like covered, drop me an email or go to our website, medsailor.com, M-E-D-S-A-I-L-O-R.com, and leave some comments or drop me an email at Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, at medsailor.com. And if you'd like to be interviewed or if you have some ideas for people that would be good to be interviewed, drop me a note. Thanks very much, and let's get on with this podcast.
This is Franz. I'm talking to Arjun. Is that how you pronounce your name, Arjun?
Yes, Arjun.
Arlen Stoop, is that right?
Correct.
Arjun lives in the UK, and he runs a charter company, and I want you to tell me all about it.
Well, good morning. I live since 1 year in the UK, and in 1983, I got on a sailboat from Gibraltar to the British Virgin Islands. And after spending there the winter, I decided that it's a beautiful place to stay. I'm originally from the Netherlands, where I went through college. I studied accounting and kind of figured out that boating was more a thing for me than sitting behind a desk crunching numbers. At the time, I was charter captain and run some private boats back and forth to the Mediterranean and back to the Caribbean. In 1995, I got an opportunity to purchase a little yacht charter company. Developed the company further to what it is now, BVI Yacht Charters. In the progress in between, we also procured a company in St. Martin in the French part, now renamed Anchorage Multicoq to St. Martin Yacht Charters. And we are in collaboration with a company in Spain, Aquila Vea, to offer that to our guests as well, so people can go sailing in different destinations. We have about 45 yachts in the BVI ready for people to sail as bare boats and or with a captain and crew if they need that.
So you're setting up a new operation in Ibiza? Is that correct?
That is correct. As our customers, we have many repeat customers as being in the business now for 15 years. Many people, they have been many, many times to the BVI and have been asking us, well, we would like to sail in the Mediterranean, but they don't dare to or venture out themselves and find another company. They're asking for our recommendation. So we went there and checked out boats ourselves and found another little company like ourselves, which offered that service. Similar service who we are working together with. So we're bringing boats for the summer season in the Mediterranean there, and then our high season is in the winter, of course. So the boats then sails across the Atlantic and does the winter season with us in the Caribbean.
So you're moving the boats back and forth?
Yep, we have several boats that move back and forth.
Do you load them on a ship or do you sail them?
No, we sail them.
How big are the boats that you're taking back and forth?
The boats going back and forth are 37 feet and up.
Okay, okay. So going down is an easy run. Coming back is always a little more difficult, isn't it?
Yes, it is much harder to find people who want to come for the way back. I wonder why. You go first up north, and when it is really cold and miserable, you hang a right and you go across the Atlantic, versus doing it the other way around. If you sail out of the Mediterranean south towards the Verdes, and when the weather is beautiful, you hang a right, they have the whole way beautiful weather coming across.
So it's a milk run getting down there and a bit of a slog coming back then.
Yes, but we still have lots of people who are interested doing the trip back because, as we say, anybody can do even a bale of straw floats from Africa to the Caribbean. Coming back, it is true sailing and navigating.
So do you pay a crew or do you usually have volunteers that want to do the run?
We do both. We pay expenses, and we normally have a paid captain and guests who just chip in for the food, etc.
Okay.
And
well,
they are coming for the experience with an experienced captain.
Okay. Okay. So somebody wants to get some blue water sailing experience. That's a good way to go about it, then.
There's a great way because there's also many people changing careers, etc., and want to become a professional in the yachting industry. And, as I said, having only sailed to the Caribbean is not that difficult. It's the coming back part where the true stamina is needed.
When you hire a captain, what qualifications do you look for?
We mainly go by a resume and not so much by paper qualifications, especially the U.S. qualifications, the U.S. Coast Guard qualifications. There's so many people who have done little sailing. They have people who sign sea time off for them, and they are studied the book and did their ABCs. So it's a little trickier. The European qualifications, like especially the English yacht master, those people have done sailing and they'll have locked so many miles. So as we are in the Caribbean, we really cannot ask for qualifications per se as a certain piece of paper, as we have guests coming from as well as South America, from Europe, from the U.S., so it is very difficult to compare qualifications and be up to date for what qualification is what. So a sailing resume is way, way better than that. And then when we start the discussion and explaining boats, etc., we know very fast from the answers and questions we got if the person really knows what they're doing or if they're just putting up a show.
Now, how much time do you spend in the BVIs, and how much time do you spend... Now, your home is in England, correct?
Yes. The British Virgin Islands, where I was living from 1983 until last year, are a fantastic place. The only problem is that it is a very small island group. We have a total of 20,000 inhabitants. Of those 20,000 inhabitants, there's lots of people from Down Island and other places who are just there to work. And the schooling is the big problem.
Oh, I see.
And we have a son of 11 years old who did not do too well at the school where we were in Tortola. And I decided that... it was time for us to find a school that suited him better. As he is 11 years old, I did not find it the right age yet, and he is not ready yet for a boarding school or something like that, hence that we moved with him. And therefore, I'm traveling every 2 months back and forth to the Caribbean.
Okay, okay. Now, are you also in charge of the yachts in Ibiza, or do you just work with a company to book those yachts? Do you basically feed clients back and forth between the two companies then?
That is correct, and we are the part time of the year in charge of the yachts because the yachts are spending some time in the Caribbean and some time in Spain.
Okay, so the winter is when you get a vacation then. Or no, I guess it's the summer when you get a vacation.
Well, in the summer we're busy in the Mediterranean, and in the winter time we're busy in the Caribbean. And the Caribbean is a way better sailing area as sailing season goes, because our season is really 10 months, just September, October are off season. And in November, Thanksgiving, the charter business is already going. And then, of course, with Christmas, we have a peak. Our season basically starts with a peak in Christmas, New Year. And it has the last ends with a peak at Easter. And then the season still kind of rolls on. And we have the beautiful sailing in the Caribbean also in May, June, July, August. Just many of our customers do own boats as well, and that's a nice time for them to go sailing their own boat in the Chesapeake and New England and or in the Mediterranean.
Okay, I can agree with you on that. I've chartered a couple times in the Caribbean, and the trade winds in the U.S. and British Virgin Islands, those are the areas that I've chartered, are just delightful, just absolutely delightful. But there's a real difference to me in the Mediterranean versus the Caribbean. And the main thing that I like about the Mediterranean is it's not a, I guess, it's not a an area that was developed for tourists. Where when I go down to the Caribbean, it seems like everything there is as a result of the tourism industry, 100% tourism. And when I go to the Mediterranean, these are villages and towns that have been there for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. They developed on their own, and tourism is just a byproduct of where they're at. But I agree, the sailing is just it's so much better in the Caribbean because of the trade winds that come across there. It's just delightful.
Yes, I 100% agree, and of course the history and culture of the Mediterranean villages is fantastic. Especially you go in Greece and in also in Spain, Stern 2 in the marinas, there's a nice bakery around the corner, etc., etc. The water is a bit colder for swimming, well, there's of course a little downfall, and with the, well, however we call the wind, the Mistral, the Meltemi, or wherever you are, they have another name for it. 1 minute wind is like from north, and the next minute it is from the south. And many days you spend in the Mediterranean that there is no wind and you are motoring. So if you're purist for sailing, you're better off in the Caribbean, as the trade winds are, I know without looking what the weather is, we have 12 to 15 knots of wind from the east to the northeast in the BVI at the moment. The weather in Spain is totally unpredictable.
Exactly. It's either too much wind or no wind in the Mediterranean has been my experience.
Yes, that is often the case. And hence that the boats do more motoring time in the Mediterranean than in the Caribbean.
That's correct. Now, also, I chartered a boat in Tahiti, the Polynesian Islands, one time. It's similar down there, but you've got big waves. You don't have protected waters down there like you do in the Caribbean.
Yeah, Tahiti is a beautiful area, but yes, the distances between the islands is also much bigger, so you better be a heartier sailor than what you need to be for in the Caribbean.
Well, tell me about your background. How did you get involved in sailing?
I did a lot of dinghy racing in Europe as a student. I had barely or no yachting experience. And as I say, I studied to become an accountant. Traveling, I found, water always drew me, hence... And I walked the docks in Gibraltar and found a boat going to the Caribbean. I thought, oh, there's a big chance to get some experience and do some sailing. arriving in the Caribbean, well, the sailing part I knew, I learned how to navigate and the other things, and I rolled in to become a charter captain. Being Dutch, that kind of helps, that most Dutch people speak a couple of other languages, so that offers a flexibility. And I found work in Martinique as a charter captain. Then I found a boat what needed a captain, what was traveling between the Mediterranean and the Caribbean. And I jumped on that for a couple of years. Found a girlfriend, and I decided to stay in the Caribbean. And, well, so things went on.
So how old were you when you were dock walking? So you were basically hitchhiking, looking for a ride then across
Correct.
The ocean.
I was 23, fresh out of college.
Had you worked as a CPA? Had you given up the accounting profession then?
For about half a year. I worked for a manpower office, so I had a couple of jobs, stints where they needed some people for temporary. I did that, and then I thought, well, if it's that easy to start a new job and whatever, I first go on a bit of a vacation. And, well, kind of earned my way going around.
That's a good story. So you followed your passion, you followed your dream, and that's how you ended up owning a charter company then.
Yes, before that I decided I needed to know more about boats, and I went to the Maine Maritime Academy, and I studied yacht design there for 2 years. Not that I ever intended to design yachts, I just wanted to have more knowledge about them, for why this and why that. What is always handy, and also the structural part, what is good for me, good knowledge, or if we have repairs to do, if there are structural things with boats that nobody can pull me the wool over the ice.
Tell me, you've been in the business, the yacht charter business, how many years then altogether?
In the yacht charter business, as owning the business, 95. Before that, I was working for 4 years for a large company called De Moorings. So I learned a little bit there what was going on in the business. Prior to that, I was just freelance captain and worked on private boats.
So if I'm a charter, a new time charter to your company, somebody you don't know about, tell me the procedure that we would go through. As far as booking the yacht and then the training or the introduction that your company does when I arrive at the yacht charter base?
Well, of course, most contacts nowadays start over the internet. We have a very complete email as a first email after contact to inform the people where things are about. So the people immediately, 95% of all questions have been answered. People can choose on the internet what kind of boat they would like, but more normally also we follow up with a phone call and have a little chit-chat for, well, what is the consistency of your party, how many people, are there couples, children, etc., and we advise them for what we think is the most suitable boat for them. And we ask them to send their sailing resume, so not only from the person who is the captain, but also of the crew, but we kind of take as a total picture in consideration, yes, they sound okay to go sailing with us. There is now and then people who kind of say they have more experience than they actually do. But when they arrive then at BVI Yacht Charters and do the chart briefing, and then with the technical staff do their boat briefing, they pretty much fall quickly for trick questions or that they don't know where they're talking about. And then we decide for, well, maybe we are wrong and the person is good enough, but if we have any doubts, we make people take a so-called checkout captain. We assure the people that it is not just for us and the boat, it is also for their own personal safety. Nobody wants to injure their family and or friends by making dumb decisions. And especially when people sail on the larger boats, there's enormous forces on the lines, etc., that if people put their hand in the wrong place, things can go really wrong. So if the checkout captain is not happy with the people, they call the base and we'll say, sorry, well, you can do two things. We end the charter, you get the money back, or you keep the captain till he is happy that you can continue sailing. Most of the time, that is not even our decision. Then the people are going out, they see what the captain is doing, and the captain is basically teaching them what to do. They see themselves that they got themselves in more trouble than it is worth, that they're not really up to it, and they ask themselves, can you stay longer? We're not ready yet.
Well, that's good. That's a smart way to deal with
it. It is often the standard thing. The husband thinks, yes, I was in the merchant marine, I'm a sailor, and it is not really the same as being on a sailing yacht. And that then, that I found out quickly for no, we need somebody who knows what they're actually doing on a boat.
That's good. So now what are the trick questions you ask?
Well, it is not just for anchoring, for how much chain do you let normally out.
Okay.
But, you know,
basic seamanship questions.
Basic seamanship, but things you do not really learn out of the book, or you know, you have read a manual or whatever. It is just practical questions, and if they answer that wrong or they cannot have a conversation about those kind of things, they fall through, and we'll ask them to take the checkout captain.
Okay. Do you have the people take a full inventory of the boat before they go out?
Yes, but we take that pretty loosely. We are not. We of course show them where all the safety items are, etc. They pay that much. We don't want to waste people's time by counting forks and knives, etc. Our staff, our cleaning staff, they do they wash all the cutlery, etc. So they make sure that everything is on the boat. And yes, now and then they lose a couple of forks or whatever, but that is not really a big deal. So the inventory is basically on the main items what people need. So yes, look, there are five fenders with the boat. You take them. The boat has four warps holding the boat on the quay now. Here, there's two extra warps in the locker. There's the emergency tiller, and we quickly go over what is needed.
Okay. So not the. I know when I chartered boats, you'd spend a half a day going through every little item on the boat, and then they had to do the same thing when we came back. So it's nice to hear that you're not going through that.
We loosened a tremendous up on that. Yes, that is it. The people who are coming to charter, they're not wanting to steal a towel or whatever. You know, and yes, now and then a towel falls overboard. But you know, obviously renting a boat, a floating hotel for a week is not that cheap. And in the margin, we'll deal with an extra towel or whatever to replace that. We don't try to spoil people's vacation by, oh, and now we have to charge you $5 extra for a beach towel you lost. That is kind of too small to worry about.
Let me ask you about the sailing area in the Balearics. Tell me where your typical, let's say a week charter would be taking the boat out of the Balearics.
Yes, well, most people, they just go around Ibiza. And they sail a circle. Ibiza is really an area. Mallorca, sail to Mallorca. Menorca, the beautiful small island there, it's fantastic to sail to. The beautiful inlets there where you can anchor, relax, and enjoy the beauty. And of course, Las Palmas, a beautiful big city where it is fun to spend some extra time on the dock and explore the city.
So pretty much on a week, you wouldn't be getting up to Menorca. That would be a little far to do in a week, wouldn't it?
Well, you can, but this really depends on what is your group wanting to do. If you're a family and not hardy sailors, you just do some bay hopping from bay to bay. Even in 1 week, if you take it really easy, you don't even circumnavigate Mallorca. You just stay then on one side, the south peak point of New York, and you come back.
Okay.
And it is really up what the people want. We assist them as much as possible by having telephone contact with them, that they can say, yes, so this is what we want to do. How is the weather? What is realistic? Not that people kind of look up and say, oh, now we're in the Mediterranean, we're going to sail the Mediterranean, because that is, of course, a very big area.
So have you had experiences where, and I see this myself, one time I chartered in Greece before I took my boat over to the Mediterranean. On the day I was supposed to deliver the boat back, it was very high Maltimes.
Yep.
And we were able to get back, but I was thinking this was really stupid to be trying to get back just to deliver the boat back in time. When you have situations like that, how do you deal with it?
Well, we try not to book the boat that it goes out the next day again. But yes, but it is difficult, and we of course encourage people just put the engine on and roll a little bit of jib out, and there you go.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. What's been the worst experience you've had with a charter?
Well, you know what the saddest thing is? That the charter guests are almost a little bit afraid and whatever. They are very careful. We have more bad luck with the captains who we hire. And there might be a couple of yahoos around under them, but of course you have to find out the hard way. That they say, yeah, so we did that trip so many times, and they don't pay attention. We tell the people at 5 o'clock you are under anchor. There is, or for the night. The main reason for that being is at 5 o'clock our staff in the office leaves. We have then still the telephone on board that they can call the technician, etc., for emergencies. But, you know, we prefer not to have that. So if people anchor at 5 o'clock, it's still daylight, they have time for happy hour, and we know that, okay, where they are, and everything is safe and sound. The professional captains kind of push it now and then. They come from one bar and they're saying, oh, it's a bit later, we just go a bit later back. They end up in the dark and they say, oh, yeah, that is no problem, I've done it before. And that is when the accidents do happen.
Okay, so it really you haven't really had that many. Well, have you had a boat sink under on a charter yet?
No, we had boats heavy hard aground that the salvage company had to pull them loose, but no boat sinking or any scary stuff like that.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
The worst thing, actually, what we had is that boat sailed off and. That we looked a couple of days later where are they? They should be coming back. Or we haven't seen them back, they should be back. And we looked on the computer on the tracker and saw that the boat was on its way to Jamaica.
So it was stolen?
Yes.
By the charter party?
Yes, there was a charter party of three males who rented the boat. Said, yeah, we are good friends, we're going out sailing, and the captain was very very knowledgeable, and we had not paid attention on, or my staff didn't really look where they're from, etc., to see, oh, they're not really the typical charter party. And when we looked, they were on the way to Jamaica, as we have trackers on the boat, what means that by satellite you can see where the boat is.
Right.
And then the boat arrived in Jamaica. There was a welcome committee waiting for them, a uniformed welcome committee.
What happened to the charters? Were they thrown in jail? What was the outcome of that?
They went to jail, and we had to send the captain over to Jamaica to sail the boat back. What was, of course, a lesser pleasant trip, because the charter guest sailed nicely downwind, and we had to beat upwind.
Well, that doesn't happen very often, I would imagine.
No, that is fortunately a unique occasion. And at hindsight, yes, at we kind of looked, the guys had different nationalities. it did not sound like a standard party, and sadly enough, I feel kind of I'd wished my staff had paid a little bit more attention when those people left, and it was a hard lesson. But now basically we just look more often on where are all the boats, etc.
Do you think they were trying to steal the boat, or were they use? Do you think they were going to use it for drug smuggling?
Well, actually, more interesting now in the Caribbean and other than drug smuggling is people smuggling.
Oh, really?
There's they make big amounts by doing illegal entries into the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Okay. So they would take people from the British Virgin Islands into the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Well, no. Mainly from Down Island, like St. Vincent, or for islands like Jamaica, etc. And then they try to enter into the U.S. without clearing in.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, tell people how they can contact you.
Well, we are BVI Yacht Charters. If you type that in Google, we are bviyachtcharters.com. Will come up. That's probably the easiest way. Otherwise, we have a phone number in the Caribbean. What was 284-494-4289. That's in a U.S. Dialing system, so just dial the 1-284. And we are ready there to help you finding a charter.
Great. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, we just want to encourage people that maybe, yes, it sounds like it is not a cheap vacation, but when you add up, you stay on the boat, and if you decide, oh, we want to make our own food, etc., instead of going out every night for dinner, it is ends up with a group of six people cheaper than a hotel.
Well, that's what I've always found when I've chartered boats. It's always a much more adventurous vacation as well.
Yeah, and of course, the high season, the peak season, is when when there are school holidays. So if you're not bound to due to children to school holidays, there's really good bargains to be gotten in the non-school holiday times.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, Arjun. We will get this posted, and I will put links to your company's website in the show notes.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.